This is a replay of the Thursday night, August 13th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
You got 3 hours to spend together. If you'd like to talk about it and it has no consequence whatsoever, I'd love to entertain it. 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And let me tell you, fiddling while Rome is burning is not always so easy. Oh, there's plenty of political things we could talk about, but you've tired of that, and I don't blame you a bit. So we are your respite from that for 3 hours, 3 hours a weeknight, and I'm happy to do it. But then again, finding out things to discuss. One of them, I ran across an article on Hedy Lamarr, and I knew this, but it occurred to me there were other individuals like her that most Americans have absolutely no idea. Now, you might know that she certainly was a Hollywood icon, Hedy Lamarr. But what's interesting about her is she co-invented frequency hopping. Yeah, spectrum technology. And that was originally to prevent the enemy from jamming in World War II. And of course, it's the basis for Wi-Fi. Yeah, I have no idea if there was any patent she got on that, but she was posthumously inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame, which is pretty good. Yeah, we have a few others, too. And some of them you hear so much, like Paul Revere's ride. We all know about Paul Revere. Well, it turns out there was a 16-year-old female who actually rode about 40 miles to alert millions of American militia members of a British attack in Danbury, Connecticut, don't you know? So her ride was twice as long as Paul Revere's. Now, there's a statue standing in her honor in the Putnam County, New York Museum. But there's also some scholars questioning, is that accurate? And, of course, we'll never know. But the bottom line is most people have never heard of her. But everybody knows Paul Revere. How about Bass Reeves? You know Bass Reeves? Well, he was born into slavery in the early 1800s, and he became one of the first black U.S. deputy marshals west of the Mississippi. But what's interesting is historians believe that his exploits were what inspired the Lone Ranger character. And, not only does his name rarely appear in history textbooks on any level, Bass Reeves, you ever heard of him? But I thought it was interesting that, of course, no credit for that inspiration, to say the least. His descendants could have fared pretty well on that. Yeah, we have others of which you've heard, no doubt. But there was Robert Smalls, whom maybe you haven't heard. He was an enslaved sailor in the Confederacy. He seized a Confederate ship, delivered it to the Union forces, secured freedom for himself and his crew, and he later served 5 times in Congress, advocating for black education and civil rights. So, yeah, every now and then there'll be a little thing in February, Black History Month, of course, that will mention him. But for the most part, no one's ever heard of him. Now, then there's Harvey Wiley. Now, I'm mixed on old Harvey here. Actually, he's known as the father of the FDA. That'll tell you something right away. And he was a chemist who developed poison squads. He tested various food additives, finding out whether or not they were indeed going to do you in. And so that led to the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act. But not only is it the foundation for the FDA, but the removal of many dangerous substances. So, what's my beef? Well, one of those in the early 20th century was removing cocaine from Coca-Cola. Yeah, yeah, we have to do with whatever it is that's in there now. I say that because, you know, we'll never really know. As I sit here with my Mexican Coke in front of me, having no idea what might really be in it. So that's the deal on that. And then, of course, some you have heard of, like George Washington Carver, obviously, and more. But 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And I'll tell you, our first bumper tonight is going to be for Gene. Because and Gene will call in maybe later tonight, I hope, to tell us what's going on. Because when your walls, your interior walls are taking on water, you know you've got a problem. So, weather continues. So, we'll find out what Nick in Chicago has to say for himself, if I can find the magic twanger, that is. Oh, yeah, it was another day of hell for me. Just absolutely. You know, yesterday, of course, I've been in this now 5 days worth of hardening my network, right? Which should be very easy and would be if it weren't Microsoft that were involved in this, of course. And you know, the definition of insanity is expecting things to turn out the same way each time. Yes, this is Microsoft. I digress. So yesterday, in the middle of it, of course, I'm eaten alive by no-see-ums. I avoided that fate today. But it's just the gift that keeps on giving. I was sure that I was fully done with four of the computers, which had, you know, roughly 35 shares each, until Windows decided to do an update. Yeah, right. Gone. Just absolutely gone. Into the ether. I spent about 4 hours today trying to figure out where the hell, you know, I'm editing my registry. I'm as an administrator on command prompt and everything else in the world, throwing caution to the wind to find, never found them. I finally realized about 90 minutes before the show began that it would be much easier to just recreate the shares. Well, yeah, well. The shares are nowhere to be found. Can't see them. Don't come up anywhere. But when you go to share them, it says that it's not available. Well, of course, I did find a workaround, but it became very arduous and tedious. And I realized that this explains, by the way, why you got no replay last night. And I apologize for that. I hope you'll get one tonight, but no guarantees, because I have firmly decided that tonight is the last night of networking because I'm going to implode. That's exactly what's going to happen here. Yeah. Yeah, Microsoft's gift. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Nick is in Chicago. So, Nick, what's up tonight?
Oh, thank you. I like all these little things you were mentioning there, little historical bits and pieces.
Yeah, they are interesting.
You're going to go with it. You're going to go into a bit more detail with some of them, I believe you said, right?
Well, if there's any you want to know about, I certainly will.
Yeah, that's great, yeah. And sometimes there are things that happen that normally are not the big story, and some people don't care about it. But some people listen to radio, listen for the little details. We love that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I was going to say that in 1970, my father and I, he booked it and paid for it. Then I was like 21 years old, and a trip on a train to California.
Uh-huh.
And well, what's interesting is that we left from what, I don't know if it's still in existence, it's called the Dearborn Street Station, is where the train pulled out of, and we went in the evening, and because it then went all night, but when we got out much further out from Chicago, starting to lighten up, and because I remember it was kind of late in the evening when we left, and I don't know if it was... Yeah, it had to be somewhere around maybe 7 or 8 p.m. But anyhow, what was interesting is to look out the window. We had a compartment, which is great. Your own a tiny little hotel room.
Absolutely.
On wheels.
Yes.
Oh, just fantastic. God bless my papa, you know. And looking out the window, I saw mile after mile, minutes into minutes going by. You could see it in a car, but you'd be lower, and you might not be quite in that perspective, you know, to be able to see it. But the flatness and the greenness of everything for like forever seemed to go on. And what was interesting is as the train, because I just was fascinated by it. It was the Great Plains. First thing I thought of once I started realizing what I'm looking at here for all this distance, those are the Great Plains. And I thought, no kidding, it's a great name for it. And then when we got further into the southwest, I didn't have a map or anything to judge it by, but it was obvious that the green areas, once in a while I see little spots of that golden-colored vegetation, meaning I could tell you it's getting into a drier area, you know. And then I saw a little tiny patch of sand, and I thought, well, now we're in the American Southwest, as it would be called. And then there's a little more sand, and then saw the first cactus, and it was just amazing, you know, that you know, you never see it on an airplane, for example, and by car you may not quite see it if you're not along these areas. And then when we got through into California, through a huge amount of orange groves. I couldn't believe it. The train's going pretty fast. I would say the train, even going through the orange grove area, was doing maybe 80 miles an hour, maybe 70, but it was going fast. And then when we got to the Los Angeles, then I believe it was 3 days in each city, Los Angeles, and then San Diego, and then San Francisco. And I liked L.A. except the smog. Then it was called smog. Now we call it, I don't know what they would call it now. But and I talked to people about it, says, you know, because my eyes were burning a little from it. And I say, well, what is this stuff? I said, oh, that's because we're in a giant valley area. And and that was 1970. I don't know if that was well before the catalytic converters and all that. But anyhow, and then San Diego is nice, but when we got to San Francisco, I fell in love with it instantly. It was just such a beautiful city and rolling hills. This is 1970, okay?
Right.
It was such a beautiful city, and seeing riding on the High Street cable car, the one you see the old Rice-A-Roni commercial says Powell and Market, that's going to one of its destinations away from the Bay Area. And when you're going up and reaches a crest there and goes down, my father wanted to grab me and said, let's get out of here, this thing's going to fall off or go into the water. And I didn't think that all the people seemed to be calm. Well, what do they know? They're probably tourists like us, you know, which is almost all the people riding on a cable car tourists. And but then you see going over the top and you see San Francisco Bay and you see Alcatraz Island, you know. And it was really, really a fantastic experience, and I was very grateful to experience it. So, and the cable car works. I even took a tour of the area where the big wheels are that pull a cable. It's a cable that gets pulled along through all these areas where the cable car goes, and the cable car only will use a brake which clamps against the sides of that big metal track in the middle of the area where the rails are. And it was otherwise it clamps onto the cable going uphill, of course. It has no power of its own, or going downhill especially. It doesn't, the accidents that used to happen where somehow the guy would not clamp on tight enough onto there, I guess they fixed that problem by making sure people are super well trained, you know. And then it goes downhill like that one where you go in the opposite direction of the Rice-A-Roni commercial. When you're going down, you see San Francisco Bay. That's a pretty steep drop from the top there. But it's just amazing. And see, like I said, at the station where one of the stations where the cable gets pulled along and all that. And guess what song I would ask you to play?
I don't want to. You just tell me.
Okay, I love that. That's very good. I left my heart at San Francisco.
Oh, that's much better than it could have been. Okay.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Do you know when you were looking at the cable cars and all that, do you know why they were developed in the 1800s?
I'm glad you asked me. It's the only national monument that moves. But
I know the reason for it. Why they were invented? No. There was a very practical reason that they had to overcome, and they did it with cable cars. And this was the 1870s. And the problem was the horses were having a real problem with the hills, and some would die. And so they came up with the idea of the cable car. But it's interesting. Your memory's from 1970. When I'm from Los Angeles originally, but I got my driver's license. I go to San Francisco, and I had no idea about these hills. And I tell you what, I'm getting on one of these hills. I'm trying to remember the street. It was just insanity. And it was, everybody thinks about some streets, but I think that this particular one was just awful. But anyway, get to the, it was Bradford
was it the
Street.
Zigzag Street, Lombard Street.
No,
that zigzag.
Yeah,
I worked
right,
on it. I don't
right.
know what car.
Lombard's famous, but it's not the worst by any means. Bradford Street. Huh. It's at a 41% incline. And I had an automatic car. And, of course, no one explained to me how to deal with this. You know, in other words, that doesn't matter. When you're totally stopped, you have to keep one foot on the brake while you're putting the foot on the gas to go, or you're going to roll backwards. So, of course, I'm starting to roll backwards. Finally, I just threw it in park, and there was a cab behind me. He's just honking and all that. So I got out of the car, and I said, "You drive it." And so he drove my car up around the side and then gave me a list of streets I could safely drive on. But yeah, Bradford Street. Remember it well.
Yeah, no, I don't remember Bradford, but I remember the 3 days I was there. It was just fantastic climbing up and down the hills in the evening before it's totally dark. You got some of the twilight in the sky and the lights of the city, and it was very safe. I didn't wander off everywhere where it didn't feel comfortable. That's in any big city at any time. But I did love it so much, and now with my bad feet, my bad knees, it wouldn't work, and I have trouble just walking on flat areas because of my birth defects in my feet that over the decades have caught up with me. And but anyhow, but it was just so fantastic. I loved it so much. Now there are different versions. The most famous version of "I Left My Heart in San Francisco" is Tony Bennett.
Right.
And there are other singers, I believe.
This is one of those songs that is covered by, there's probably over 500 covers of "I Left My Heart in San Francisco."
Wow. Well, if you wanted to play one by somebody else, that'd be okay too, what I'm saying. It was just so wonderful to see the Great Plains and then see the little patch of golden vegetation, which means it's not quite as much rain and all that. And a little patch of sand, a little more sand, and then I saw the first cactus. I thought, wow, that's the experience there. It's just fantastic. So,
right.
So I loved it very much over there, whenever you can get around
okay,
to it, I'll
we'll
be
do
listening
it.
For the whole show.
We'll do it. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, the first version of "I Left My Heart in San Francisco" was actually Clara Mae Turner, and that was 1954, and that was a live performance. And then I think the first recorded was Seal Clayton. And so it wasn't until 62 that Tony Bennett had the hit and Frank Sinatra did it at the same time. But there's easily 400 versions of that. I might not be exaggerating with that number. We have definitive ways to check should you want. But actually, it was Gene, who we mentioned before, who had a request. And I wasn't going to play the Pat Boone version, but I looked and I found 630 versions of this. 600, right. And finally, I settled on the Platters. And it'll be Gene's request done by the Platters coming up on WGN Radio.
Lips that once were mine.
Raleigh James. And yes, the Platters, late in their Mercury history. Buck Rahm, when he took it to Mercury, started all those pop standards, Twilight Time and My Prayer and Only You and all that. And toward the end of their run on Mercury, I'll See You in My Dreams was a flip side in 1963. Now, I was looking for a version to play, and as I say, there's, you know, approaching 500 of them. And it's interesting, everybody who ever did a pop standard is on the list somewhere, or produced one is on the list somewhere. It's like that. And some country singers as well. But then I thought, the Platters, hey, why not? So hopefully Jean heard it, and hopefully all's going well today for her. And we will hopefully hear from her to get the update on the weather. Now, 888-876-5593. John is in Covington. What's happening tonight, John?
Hey, Raleigh. I might have asked you this in the past, and if I did, I sure do apologize, but I can't remember. Did you ever hear that Julia Child, the lady on the, you know who I mean?
Yeah.
Her and her husband were foreign spies or spies of some kind. Did you ever hear that?
I'll tell you what it is. It's one of those things that's out there as a story, and it's got a minor basis in fact, but it's not what you think. All right. Now, she had volunteered for the OSS, and the Office of Strategic Services is what predated the CIA. And so she was working there as an intelligence researcher and a file clerk. So she was not spying against us. If anything, she was spying for us. But the reality is she was doing neither. She was a clerk at the OSS. But then she got this job, and this is really, really weird, in the emergency sea rescue equipment section. All right, and you're saying, what the heck would you be rescuing? Well, I don't know why, but what she developed was a shark repellent. I am not I am not making that out. But she was chief of the OSS registry in what was then Ceylon. It's Sri Lanka now, and in China. And so as a clerk, she was handling a lot of top secret documents, but she was not a spy in either direction. But in any direction, it would have been for us. But so she was handling all that. In fact, while she was stationed abroad, that's when she met her husband, Paul, because he was with the OSS also. And then later he joined the U.S. Foreign Service, which was around at the time. So after the war, she moved to Paris because her husband had a diplomatic job there. And that's where she learned to cook at Le Cordon Bleu and launched her cooking career. But so it was a transition from being a wartime clerk, not a spy, to a cooking icon. So that's the story.
All right. Well, I just wanted to leave you with this as well. I had a appointment with my glaucoma doctor, and everything's fine.
Good.
We're just trying to maintain the vision, keep the vision that I have.
Yeah.
So he did a pressure check, and the doctor and I, it's from 8 to 11. That's where we like to keep
it. Oh, hey, that's, so, I don't know anybody who has an 8. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, today it was 10, but at any rate,
That's still absolutely amazing. Anything under 20 is kind of okay, but when you can see them in the low teens, that's great, but doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, like I say, we're just trying to keep what I have.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but before he did the pressure check, he asked me, he said, do you see any floaters? And I told him, I said, well, I don't really look for any.
Right.
I just swipe, blush, and wash my hands.
Oh, God. It's so good.
See you later, Raleigh.
Goodbye.
I love you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Oh, no. I didn't see that one coming, but that's horrible. 888-876-5593. Yeah, I've got quite a few floaters. I rarely see them in any event. They're certainly there. But every now and then, like a few weeks ago while I was driving, it was out of the peripheral vision on the left side. I literally thought the car was being attacked by bats. Yeah, I know. I am the drama queen. Well, it wasn't bats. It was a couple floaters. So 888-876-5593. Cindy is in Chicago. What's up, Cindy?
You know, I had some tech problems today, too.
What were they?
Well, okay, the phone that I got, it's a free phone from
By the way,
state.
As soon as you say phone, that doesn't compute to tech problems in my world.
Okay, all right. Yeah, but then anyhow, my phone number and somebody else had the same phone number, and they were buying stuff at Walmart. Well, you know, all that I had to deal with was getting the phone number changed. Okay. And, but that's it. I mean, and just I had a screaming session with Walmart with the... which I normally don't do.
Sure, they love to see you coming. But so you were screaming at Walmart. What exactly were you upset about?
Well, the customer service, those people in the call center in the Philippines, especially the women, just talk and talk and talk to hear themselves speak English.
What on earth would possess you to call a call center?
Well, no, to talk to them about my phone. That's the people who answered about my phone.
Oh, so your phone is a Walmart phone, all right?
No, someone had my phone number. The phone company gave my phone number on somebody else's account.
All right. Well, so you call your phone company.
Right. But at first I was getting texts from Walmart that I was getting food delivered.
You just ignore that stuff. Don't even put yourself through it.
Well, I don't know. I just went, you know, it's all solved. And yes. I, you know, Mike can't believe what, you know, how I was screaming.
Stop looking for trouble. When you get texts and you don't know what they are, you delete them. They have nothing to do with you.
I know, but somebody, I had to change my phone.
Well, that's right.
Number.
So then you call the phone company and you get them to change your phone number. It takes about a minute and a half and you're done. So you could have saved yourself all that Walmart hysteria.
That never happened. I never heard of that where somebody else would get the same phone.
Anything can happen. You know, those are human errors, not tech errors. But as I say, the where you went off the rails were trying to deal with, say, a Walmart or whoever else it would be. You just ignore things that come in text messages or email that you don't recognize. Just ignore. That's what delete is for. Yeah, and then you call the phone company. So it's all better now.
Yeah, I normally do, but everyone's crazy about the storms and just my nerves.
All right.
No,
well,
it's over, and we have to get the new phone number in our six-way, what do you call it, joint texting for the condo, and everybody else has an iPhone, and I have an Android phone, and I don't want to deal. I told the association president I don't want to deal with any more of it for 2 weeks.
All right.
I got to try it. But then anyhow, that's all. You know, I'm just going to say it because now I'm aggravated. You know, all that calling about men wanting to talk to me and get my phone number, that's all crime syndicate.
What? What are you talking about? Ken thought he might want to go to lunch with you? You think he's in the crime syndicate?
Yeah, men come after me over and over.
All right. All right.
Constantly, and I'm mourning the loss of my boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
I'm sick of it.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't have to call Ken. You're done.
No.
Okay, good. All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks. Right. Appreciate it, I guess. I never know what to say about Cindy. But yeah, in general, if you look back on it, some of the things that make you the most frustrated are things that you could have avoided entirely. Now, obviously, if something is real, you'll know it. You'll get snail mail and letters, things like that. But if you get text messages or voicemails or emails, you know, telling you all manner of anything, that is what delete is for. So 888-876-5593. And you can change your phone number if you want to on yourself pretty much any time you want with any company that you've got. That's easy enough to have happen. Chris in South Carolina, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Wally, how's it going?
I don't know anymore.
You don't? Well, guess what?
After Cindy, I never know.
Well, guess what?
What?
WCRF got a new transmitter for AM, and they back on.
Well, isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
And so what kind of transmitter did they get?
I don't know. I just know that it came back on this week.
Okay.
And I could pick it up, like, further now. Because, you know, the old one probably is, like, overused.
All right. Well, very good. So, all's well. So,
yeah.
You weren't also, sure they were coming back at all, but here they are.
Yeah, and guess what? They cover the EAS, like, severe thunderstorm warnings now.
Well,
they interrupted.
Yes. Easy to set up and wise to do.
Yeah, I was shocked because that they wouldn't do it like back when a while ago, but they started doing it now, and I would say thank you.
Yeah, well,
now I can tune you for severe weather cover.
Right, right. Weather is one of those things with the EAS; it's optional, and you can also set it up if you don't want it to interrupt a song. You can set it up to trigger after the song is over. It depends what it is. So there are some things that you have to carry, but when it comes to weather, which I think you should carry, but there's no regulation that says you must.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Even if, like, it was a football game or something.
Doesn't matter what it is.
You have to interrupt it.
Doesn't matter what it is. It's still voluntary. But, of course, you're licensed to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity, so it certainly makes sense that you'd want to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because they activated it twice and I said...
Well, they didn't. They didn't activate it. It's automated. It's automated. You set up the terms in the index. You set up the terms and how you want it handled. So,
yeah,
you know,
automated.
Well, absolutely it is. But there's many, many ways to set it up. But obviously, you know, they have every possible inclement weather condition known to man. You're probably not going to get a sandstorm. So, you know, you probably could go ahead and not activate that. It wouldn't matter either way because you're not going to get one. But the big thing is only do warnings. Don't do watches. Because if you start to do watches, there's too many of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you activate the watch, that means you got to keep setting in for warnings.
Well, no, you decide. If you're doing warnings, you can do warnings. And if you're doing warnings, then you decide what warnings you're doing, like severe thunderstorm or flash flooding or whatever.
Tornadoes.
Yeah, tornadoes, you betcha. And you can decide if you don't want to do watches, you don't have to. So in other words, first you set up the severity of the whether it's a watch or a warning, and then you set it up in terms of what kind of a warning. And, you know, from there you... now, by the way, your NDEC is going to get, if you're a radio or television station, your NDEC is going to get this information. It's just a question of whether they're going to broadcast it. So...
Well, what station you put it on?
Well... You
put your index.
Again, no, each station has an index, period. And they set it up for that station in the way they want to set it up.
Uh-huh.
So, and again, there are some things, like the national things, that you have to carry. Like the monthly test, the RMTs, you have to carry. But when it comes to weather, that's voluntary. It makes sense to carry it, but it's voluntary. Likewise, for messages like amber alerts or things of that nature, you can decide, and also you can decide how far from your point of license you want to carry them. Like, you may not want to carry one that's for Charlotte, North Carolina, for instance. So you can set all those parameters up. It's simple to do, and then it'll just obey you completely.
Oh, yeah. No mandate's worth a while.
So... Well, anyway, so I'm glad your station is back, and I hope you're enjoying it.
Yeah, and also, two more things.
Uh-huh.
I looked like, you know, the mobile Cubs games on WGN.
What?
You know, they have them severe weather crawls. And
right, of course.
Tornado warning. What if you was at the Cubs game, and all of a sudden a tornado warning comes to Chicago, and you watching it on TV?
Well, you'd see it on TV also. I mean,
yeah, because they'll have a run a crawl.
Well, at the very least, and depending on what it is, they might have set it up to take the audio. Again, you can set it up however you want to take it, and you can, you know, with something like weather, you decide where you want that crawl. It's not mandated. But in terms of if all hell breaks loose while you're sitting there at the Cubs game, I think the EAS system is the last thing you're worried about.
Yeah.
And what was the other thing? You said you had two things.
On the radio.
Well, believe me, you'd be aware of it there too. So you said you had two things. What else you got?
And I want to do a song request.
Oh, okay. What you want to hear?
You remember this singer called Johnny Gill?
Oh, of course. Singer. Of course, Johnny Gill. You betcha.
I want to hear Behind Closed Doors.
His version of Behind Closed Doors? Okay, it may not be tonight, yeah. But I'll add it to the list. You betcha. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, Kenny Odell wrote that, actually. And, of course, Charlie Rich had the big hit, but it was a Kenny Odell song. Yeah. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Oh, Jay in Cincinnati's got another request. Fran in Austin's got something going on. Brian in Seneca. Oh, car talk. Good. We'll change the subject. Coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh Jones. Wanda Jackson, 1960. Let's have a party. Yeah, one of John Lennon's favorites. And Wanda Jackson was very interesting. She started out doing country. In fact, it was Hank Thompson who found her in the early 50s and signed her to Decca. And she was doing country stuff. And she wound up touring with Elvis in the mid-50s. And he's the one who suggested to do the rockabilly stuff. And so she signed a deal with Capitol in 56 under the provision that she could record country or rockabilly. And they said either way. And so, Let's Have a Party and Fujiyama Mama and Mean Mean Man came out. And she did that for a while. Then she went back into country and a lot of stuff as far as that goes. And then went into gospel in the 70s and then ultimately became a real rockabilly star on the retro concerts and things like that. Far as I know, she is still alive. And she'd be... Oh, about 88 now, I think. So, but as far as I know, I haven't heard any different. She was originally from Oklahoma, and then she went back to Oklahoma. But in between, when she was a young child, they moved to California, to Los Angeles, and to Bakersfield, her family. So that's part of where she got that big taste of country music. Because, like I mentioned before, for inexplicable reasons, that was huge in the late 40s and early 50s in Los Angeles. So that was Jack in St. Charles who wanted to hear that, and happy to play it. Now, got more requests we'll get to, but every now and then I see something on the screen, and I say, oh, wonderful. We're going to break for news here in about a minute, but I want the headline first from Fran in Austin, who says, it's good news. All right, that's a change. What's good?
It is good news. Gary went to the doctor today. We both have a new, the same primary care doctor now.
Uh-huh.
And he seems really good. Well, you remember about Gary's hands?
Yes.
He had the numbness in his hands for years?
Yes.
They're sending him to a specialist on Tuesday.
Oh, good. Hang on. Don't go away. We'll talk more about this. So,
okay.
Finally, is there anything more frustrating than doctors? Well, I don't know. I guess you'll just have to live with it. Yeah. Well, let's find out exactly what's going to happen there. That's really good news. So, we'll continue with Fran. We got Jay, we got Brian, and we got you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Brenda Holloway, my friend, said I could pick anything I wanted. You know, she was the most underrated Motown artist. They recorded so many things on her and then just didn't release them. And that was recorded in, I think, the summer of like 66, and they shelved it. By the time it was released, it would have been old enough to vote. It was 21 years later in 1997 when, you know, they were combing the Motown vaults for anything they could throw on a CD that finally it came out. But they did not do her justice. All right, so we go back to Fran. So now, so Gary has a doctor's appointment. Yeah.
Yeah, first of all, I like that song. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you've heard it, I'm sure.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Really?
I've got
I've got a lot you've probably never, you know, I've got these real tapes of her, and my favorite is I played You Changed Me before, so I know you've heard that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and that was another one on those same sessions that they just shelved. You know, a lot of people think all the Motown stuff was done in Detroit, and that is wrong, too, because a lot of it was done in Los Angeles, including that.
Yeah, that I knew.
Yeah. But, they got in a lot of trouble because they didn't sign up with the union. They were using somebody else's deal to have those sessions, and you know, that finally came to light. But, yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
Right, it was a little bit of a mess. but, of course, the Holloway girls, Patrice and Brenda were Los Angeles girls, so that's where they did that.
Wow. But anyway, back to Gary's hand.
Yes.
Yeah, he'd been going to this clinic, and we used to joke about how they had ether tanks in the lobby. They were just so, I mean, you know, they were just, and I kept saying, well, why don't you find another, you know, why don't you go, oh, I don't know, I don't want to deal with all that garbage, you know, I don't know how to, you know, and usually things like that I deal with, but, you know, I didn't want to micromanage Gary's life. You know, that's not the way we do things, but I, you know, I finally, one of our friends was over and she said, I'll read whatever they need, you know.
Yeah.
You can call them, I'll read whatever they need me to read.
Okay.
And it's just Gary saying, I don't know this, you know, I don't know what they're going to want, and then, you know.
Who cares?
And so, between the two of us, we kind of...
Yeah, good.
And they had, you know, they wanted to get him to see their orthopedic person right away, and he's also got back problems. So today they x-rayed his hands.
Okay.
And they x-rayed his back.
Good.
And you know, so, and he's already got an appointment on Tuesday. So
excellent.
That is, you know, finally I'm hoping that something can be done about this. He thinks it's some kind of a nerve problem,
or
possibly carpal tunnel, which, you know,
Carpal tunnel would actually be the good news there, because it's well known and treatable. The problem with nerve problems is now you're talking about these things originate in the brain, and what medical science knows about that could fill a thimble. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, it's kind of like what they know about RA.
Anything autoimmune. And, you know, even the quote-unquote new wonder drugs, they're all of the same vein. They mask the symptoms. They don't get to a root cause. They just mask things.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you know firsthand, and they all come with a boatload of side effects.
Yeah, they do, and some, you know, like this last couple of times, the infusions have worked, but not as well.
Oh, well, of course, because your body is adapting to it, and your immunity is willing to overcome it, just what you need. But yeah.
Yeah, so it's like usually when I get them, you know, I come home and I just crash right away, and I sleep for, you know, 12, 13 hours.
That's good, actually.
This time, yeah, that's good. But this time I came home and I was waiting to get, you know, that feeling that I needed to crash. And it finally happened, but it took hours, which usually when I get home, it's like, okay, you know, I'm gone. So, but anyway, you know, it's just, I'm just really happy that they're finally going to look into Gary's hands. And,
yes.
And, you know, I mean, I'm glad he got out of that darn WellMed clinic.
Oh, yeah.
So, and as for the transit situation, they thanked me for my feedback.
Oh, no. Oh. That's the way of telling you to go screw yourself.
Basically, yeah. And so I'm trying to figure out, okay, I've called. You know, so I guess now it's time. I thought, well, I'll email, but they might do the same thing. I am not used to, I've fought things before, but it's usually like I'm when we were at the other apartment complex we lived in, I was part of this tenants council that was trying to get some things done, and usually they roped me into being the spokesperson. But I had other people behind me. I was speaking on behalf of myself,
right,
and other people, which I still am, but I just only have, you know, like when I mentioned that people in wheelchairs find the ramp a little too steep and narrow, you know, they're not going to listen to that because I'm not.
Well,
you know, I don't have names or I don't have anything other than my opinion, and they don't care about my opinion.
No, but they don't want to be publicly shamed. That's why I was hoping there was a TV reporter who was one of those on your side type reporters, you know, that get a bottom of things. They really don't want this to become a major issue. And if there was an organization, you know, I know I'm being foolish even thinking that, but you know, if there was some organization, or you know, like the National Council for the Blind or whatever it is, who could take this up, or any disability organization where they could publicly shame them, I think that would cause them to get into action, because they don't like that.
Yeah, I know. I used to be a member of the Federation, yeah, and I used to be a member of the American Council, and
right,
I had issues with both organizations, and so I just, you know, I'm not an organization person, but at this, you know, at the same time, I mean, I think they spend too much time saying they're not the other people. It's kind of like the Democrats and the Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, you know,
yeah,
well, we're not like them. Well, we're not like them. Well, you know, they're fighting each other, and they're not fighting for us.
Yeah, well, and in this case, we're not even wanting you to join somebody. We just want to get somebody who will do something. Like, they have that Coalition of Texans with Disabilities, which is, it's in Austin, and it's consumer-driven about civil rights and accessibility and employment. And, you know, sometimes somebody in one of those offices may want something that they can take as a cause to publicize. So, you know, Austin...
And what is this organization?
Coalition of Texans with Disabilities.
Okay.
And it is in Austin. And there's also the Austin Resource Center for Independent Living. You know, that's a kind of an empowerment group, just like it sounds. But also Disability Rights. That's free legal advice, Disability Rights Texas. What I'm hoping is you can run into somebody who wants to make a name for themselves, and this would be a perfect cause to do it.
Yeah. I know we were talking to Johnny last night. That's why, you know, it was like you were having a slow night, and I was trying to call in. And while I was trying to call in, Johnny called us, so we wound up getting in one of our marathon conversations between the three of us, which is always fun.
Yes.
But we almost thought of calling you as a group, and then I thought, nee.
I don't know. There are some nights when I'm willing to talk to houseplants, so by all means, don't hesitate.
But anyway, I had forgotten that I was going to ask him if he, you know, if he knows anybody.
Right.
Yeah,
from being on the air and stuff. But that's what you want.
Yeah.
And if you could get anybody on the air who would like to, you know, years ago, Bob Cole was real big. I don't know what he's doing anymore, but he was real big in mornings there. And but somebody who's looking for a cause, because this would be a great one to publicize.
Yeah, and I think there might be I know there used to be on KUT or KUTX, one of them, there was an disability related show.
Right.
And, you know, they might listen. They would.
Yeah, that same kind of thing.
Especially if I could get on the air.
Right. That's the sort of thing you're looking at, because you're right that as an individual, they'll just tell you to have a nice day. But we want to get it to the point where it's something that they can't ignore, where they will be publicly shamed for it, because, you know, they don't like that reputation.
Right. And, you know, I did say when I was talking to them, I tried the, you know, the carrot and the stick approach.
Right.
Where, you know, I said, oh, I've been writing Capital Metro for 20 years, and I know that you've always been concerned about... this sort of blah blah blah.
Right.
But you know, and then I expressed my concerns, but you know, they didn't even, I mean, I just talked to some secretary
right.
or phone person
right.
or something, and I mean the people that, you know, the names you gave me, those people never even called me back.
Yeah, so it's obvious that as an individual, you're not going to make any inroads here. So now we need to find you find you a bigger gun, you know, somebody, some organization that wants to make a name for themselves. And there's got to be it. There's someone there. Austin's loaded with these kind of things. Just finding one.
So... Yeah, we're so woke here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you know, the nicest thing about Austin is how close it is to Texas. So, because God knows it's not part of it. I used to say that all the time. They loved me. But anyway, yeah, I think that's the key.
Yeah, I will definitely try that. I was going to write a letter, but I thought, well, it'll be the same thing as the phone call.
It is going to be the same, unfortunately. I can tell from the way they're handling it that you're wasting your time as an individual, but you won't be as a group.
Right. So.
And it'd be great.
Anyway.
It'd be wonderful if someone at KUT picked up the banner, because, you know, that's holy ground to those kind of people. So.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Boy, I'll tell you what. That'd be great. So, you know, I have no idea what the programming is, but I sure know that it would get their attention.
Right. Yeah, it's too bad we don't know. We knew he was he did the news there. What is his name again? His wife's name is Fran. Bob Branson.
Okay.
Was a good friend of ours that we haven't heard from him in years, and he no longer works for KUT, but he might be able to tell me who to talk to.
He might, absolutely. Yeah, he retired, but he's been retired now a decade. So, you know,
he's been retired a long time.
So the chances of him still knowing somebody isn't that
isn't too great. But,
no.
Yeah, the only reason I thought of him was that he and Gary used to do some show together, and they just, when they get together, it's in like these. It almost reminds me of that thing that Hudson and Landry did a long time ago about the two boss jocks, you know.
Yeah, well, that'd be great. Well, you know, if you can find him, he probably has contacts, so it wouldn't hurt. And
nope.
Yeah, and I think Bob Cole is still on the air somewhere. I don't know what the deal is, but he was a morning man of big impact there for decades. And I know he always used to say to me, you know, because he was one of the people who said, oh, you're going to love Austin. I said, I don't think so. He said, you don't understand. It's a terrible place, but you're never going to run out of things to talk about. You won't have to do any show prep. They'll do it for you. And he was right about that. I said, it isn't worth it. So...
Yeah, it's too bad Dale Dudley isn't on. I used to like
KLDJFM,
and he this would be definitely something that he could sink his teeth into.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. He's not.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know whether he got fired or what happened. Gary would probably know more than I would.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm trying to find.
I used to really enjoy listening to him.
Yeah. No, he was there when I was, but never met the guy. He didn't like me. But you know, but that was because he didn't like what I did on the air. He didn't understand that what you do on the air isn't who you are.
Right. So
that never
exactly.
occurred to him. Yeah. So anyway,
yeah.
that was the deal there. Yeah. So I don't know what happened to him. I know about 2022, I think they got rid of him, but he was there a long time. So.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Well, you're going to find somebody. That's the new task. We're going to find somebody.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
All right. Good deal. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Okay,
good.
Sure.
So good news about Gary. That is good news, finally finding a doctor who's willing to look into what's going on. I know that shouldn't be something that's a rare treat, but these days it is. And I might put it on my list to try and get a hold of Bob Cole, too. But, of course, you know, my callback list, the only way to get off it is to die. And so, God, yeah, the only thing that's left of my family of origin, I was adopted, so it's not really a family of origin, but the people who raised me, the only thing left are people in Kuwait. And they write all the time, and I basically ignore them. And, but one of them was always writing all the time, and finally I thought, well, I'll answer. So I did. I didn't hear back. So now I'm wondering, what the heck's going on? Curiosity hasn't caused me to do anything more about it, but, you know, I might. There could be something. All right, so we'll pick it up there. We got Jay, we got Brian, we got Eduardo, we got Sam, and you coming up after the news on WGN Radio.
A little bit of soap will wash away your lipstick on my face, but a little bit of soap will never ever erase the pain in my heart and my eyes as I go through the lonely hills. A little bit of soap will never wash away my tears. A little bit of soap will wash away your powder from my chin. A little bit of soap will never ever begin to take away the hurt that I feel as I go through the lonely hills. A little bit of soap will never wash away my tears.
Have you heard when a begins to die, you need someone to cry.
Night and day,
like a bird, you left your robin nest, and just like all the rest, you flew away.
A little bit of soul will take away your perfume eventually, but a little bit of soul will never wash away the memory of your name in the night that I call through the lonely hills. A little bit of soul will away my tears. I'll never lose
WGN
a
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is a wonderful song all the way around, and it's definitely a one-hit wonder, a medley of their hit, no doubt about it. But boy, it was worth it, wasn't it? And that was Mike in Elmwood Park who wanted to hear the Jarmels. They're from Richmond, and it was actually Benny King when he was first touring with the Drifters. You know, when the Drifters had been disbanded, and manager Treadwell had the name ownership and then got the Five Crowns, which was Benny King, and made him tour all over the country. And hilarious stories on that tour. But when they were in Richmond, that's when they heard the Jarmels. And Benny King said, you know, you guys are good. There's a lot of record companies like to talk to you. And so they went to New York and they met with the Schwartz brothers and Laurie. Laurie signed them, and that was it. Actually, they auditioned with Benny King's signature Stand By Me, but it was the first time that Laurie had signed an African-American group, and I don't think they were the Jarmels at the time. I think they got named the Jarmels after a street in Harlem, but they had been, I think they were the Actors or something like that, something not memorable. And it was interesting because the guy who used to work with the Mystics and the Passions, you know, another couple Laurie groups, got assigned as their manager, and they released a couple things that did absolutely nothing, but then A Little Bit of Soap, number 12 nationally, and that was just huge. obviously. So group continued to perform throughout the 60s, but no matter what they did after that, they didn't hit. They had a lot of personnel changes, and it was interesting because along the way, one of them was Major Harris, who, of course, later went on to fame with the Delphonics and then independently as well. But I think it really is a little bit of soap and nothing else. But I thought it was a terrific record. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh, and we'll see what requests Jay, and then we're going to do Car Talk with Brian. But Jay in Cincinnati, welcome back to WGN. Jay gave up. Sorry about that, Jay. Yeah, sometimes it takes a while, and but I'm sure he'll call. But Brian is in Seneca, so Brian, welcome back to WGN.
To be back, from what little I've seen, Austin's paratransit seems to have superior skills in soaking up tax dollars and providing little in return to the citizens of the city. So
yeah, and it's always been that way. And like I say, in 96 when I was there and they started 24-hour free rides for everybody, I said, it's going to be the mobile homeless, and it was.
Yeah, well, only so much you can do about that, I guess. Before we get too much further, I'd like to go ahead and put in a request.
All right, let's see what you got.
Wishing You Were Here by Chicago.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Good deal. We'll do it. Anything else?
Okay. Now we'll go ahead and get the AMC Eagle out of the way first, because in a couple of your recent Monday questions, the answers were the AMC Eagle and the Oldsmobile Toronado.
Yeah, and by the way, and I loved the Toronado. I don't care if it was voted one of the world's worst cars. I just thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, and if I dug hard enough, I'd eventually find who was giving the bad reviews on the Toronado, but light to medium digging, I couldn't find them.
Ah, well, it's from a book.
Yeah, we'll get...
obviously, I look for books and used bookstores and stuff that won't have much on the internet, so I can ask things that aren't easily searchable.
Yeah, well, I've got my copy of Consumer's Guide, thanks to... Steve and Johnny, roughly 30 years ago, plus, what was the name of the GM executive that Ford, Bunky Knudsen.
Oh, okay.
Courtesy of Bunky Knudsen, I've got the Consumer's Guide for American Cars, basically 19, whenever the company started up until the early to mid-80s when the book went to press.
Okay.
It only skims the surface, and you practically need a pallet jack to move it around.
There you are.
Great book, plenty of text, plenty of pictures.
Indeed.
But we'll go ahead and cover the AMC Eagle first.
Okay.
Now, the AMC Eagle, its claim to fame over its predecessors, the Concorde and the Spirit, is that to celebrate... they're having recently purchased Jeep from Kaiser Frazier,
right,
and killing off any possible chances of them ever getting back to even the level of the 1930s to 40s Nash. But anyway, they bought Jeep thinking it would help the company, and it was a millstone around their neck, but it's ultimately the same thing that Chrysler bought them for when Chrysler took over AMC. But anyway... the difference between the Eagle and the Concorde and the later Spirit, and I'll get to the Spirit in a second, is that the Eagles had what's called a center differential.
Okay.
Now, which meant they were full-time all-wheel drive. Now, when you have power on more than one driving axle, the way it gets from the engine and transmission to those axles... you know, on something that uses transmissions and not your battery cars like today, is that it has to leave the transmission and go to a unit that has the extra drive shafts on it.
Uh-huh.
Now, if this unit is locked all the time, it's called a transfer case, which
right.
is what you'll hear most people with pickup trucks talking about. The problem with the transfer case is that it is like a solid axle. And if you just stick a truck... or a car, if you find one, with a transfer case, you stick it in four-wheel drive all the time, eventually it's going to bust the transaxle or bust something else because the front and the rear axles travel at different speeds depending on what you're doing with the car. In order to avoid self-destroying the car and having full-time four-wheel drive, you have to have a center differential. The center differential can have multiple gears in it and can be locking, but it is normally a differential, and it sends the power out to the front axle and the rear axle to the extent that it needs it, just like your differentials on your individual drive axle send power out to the wheels differently depending on what they need. So the AMC Eagle, they all had center differentials on them. And before that, the first of the Eagles was the somewhat larger one. It was the AMC Concord with a center differential right on it and raised ground clearance. The Concord went all the way back to the late 60s or early 70s AMC Hornet. So especially in this time, these cars have been around for a while. And the underlying underpinnings to the Concord and the Pacer and the Spirit and the Gremlin and the Matador and the Ambassador, all of that went back to the early 1960s. So it's amazing that AMC was able to do as much as they did and do it as well as they did with all the money they did not have to spend on engineering or anything of the like.
Well, they were some of the weakest engines, though. I know they had an option for a four-cylinder, and then the big one was a six-cylinder inline, and I think it was like 4.2 liter. So, you know, that's...
Yeah, they were underpowered because they got tired of trying to maintain their V8.
Yeah, but
this thing was
too heavy to even have been offered as a four-cylinder option. But what I found interesting is that it's considered to be the first and the forerunner to the modern crossovers. And I thought, oh my God, I hate to think that that's what started it.
Well, other than being gutless wonders in an era of gutless wonders, there was nothing wrong with the car.
Yeah.
And if you really... we're having that, you know, kind of a Jones for power, and you really were that desperate for it, all you had to do was go to the local junkyard and pull the engine out of a Javelin or a Ambassador, drop it in, it would fit right away.
Right. Most people are not going to do-it-yourself car purchasing, though. You know, they want to go in and get it as is. So, now, what's interesting, I didn't know American Motors bought Chrysler. I thought Chrysler bought American Motors, and I thought that was at the end of that run, like about 88.
If I said it the wrong way, then obviously I was misspeaking, and I apologize.
Yeah, Chrysler bought it,
Chrysler bought AMC, because...
But it was the end...
AMC was 97% dead and 3% buried.
Yeah, agreed. But it was the end of that Eagles run, not the beginning.
Oh yeah, it was the very end of it, because in 1979, Chrysler Corporation was in every bit as much trouble as AMC, except
right.
they were bigger and higher up, so they had more distance to fall and more splats to go splat with when they finally hit concrete.
Yeah, but you know, they weren't, you know, as AMC, well, even as other things, but it was Nash and Hudson in the 50s. And,
they originally put AMC together, and if it weren't for Studebaker's factory and cost inefficiencies, it was supposed to have been Hudson, Nash, Studebaker, and Packard to make the combined AMC, and there was hopes that there was enough, you know,
and then
a formation of enough center of gravity to keep the company together. But George Romney, after he merged with Hudson, was quicker than Packard's accountants, who found themselves buying Studebaker's management to put on top of themselves, which worked great for Studebaker, so it was great for Packard too, I guess.
Well, and then, of course, you mentioned Jeep and the Kaiser Jeep. They got about 1970, but 79, yes. Wasn't that the deal where Renault bought into it?
Buying into it and AMC wanting somebody.
Yeah, right,
anybody,
exactly.
And then, give them something to manufacture, and they would rather make Renaults.
Right. Right, because they got a chunk of that ownership, I know. But in any event, interesting stuff. Okay, so that's the Eagle. Now, any thoughts on the Toronado?
The Toronado was a lot more successful than your reference.
I thought so, too.
Although it was still somewhat of a niche market. The quality was, on average, to slightly above for cars of its price class at the time when it was made.
Yeah, I loved it. Now, I just loved it in 66.
Yeah, now the brakes were a bit of an issue, more so with the heavy front weight bias.
Right.
But in 1966, they were still following federal guidelines, as the most they would do as well as the least they would do. So the modern brake cylinder on a car is what's called a dual circuit, which means that if you lose the brake, if one of your brake hoses busts on one wheel, you still have brakes on
fallback on the others, right?
Not a set.
Right.
This was not the case. This 1966 was the last year where that wasn't the case, where if you had a brake hose pop on one wheel, that got rid of all of the brakes.
Right.
Now, Cadillac had been using the dual circuit as standard equipment since 1962. Oldsmobile waited until the government stuffed it down their throats in 1967. So the 66 Toronados could pop a wheel and lose the brakes for the entire car.
Yeah, it's a possibility, but you know, I knew a lot of people who loved that Toronado like I did, and some of them had the money at the time to buy one. I don't know anybody who went to their doom due to the brake failure. It was a possibility, but I'd never heard about it happening often.
Well, no, and it wasn't except if you go to the mountain states or something weird like that, when there's all sorts of things trying to destroy your brakes. It's something that people knew how to get around. Back then, people still knew, if nothing else, to pull handbrake and pray.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like I was talking before about that street in San Francisco. Yeah, that's exactly when you pulled the handbrake and pray.
But the other major thing about the Toronado, the first year they actually sold 40,000 units, which for a pricier car was, by all measures, success. Now, in 1967, the second year of the Toronado and the first year of the Eldorado, both models combined did not quite make 40,000, but they were still not considered a failure. Not only that, but the transmission for the Toronado and the Eldorado, the Hydromatic 425, was actually one of the best of many stellar transmissions GM built, and above and beyond the Toronado and the Eldorado was the transmission for two RVs.
Okay.
Now, one of the RVs was the GMC RV, which everybody's familiar with when GM actually set up a GM-style assembly line for RVs, and if the fuel crises had not hit when they did, then GMC would probably still be making RVs today. They were that good.
Well, all right.
And the other one, which is less heard of, is the last year or two of production for what was called the Ultravan RV.
Mm-hmm.
The Ultravan RV was a rear-engined RV that was originally powered using the flat-six engine and transmissions from the Chevrolet Corvair. But when they ran out of Corvair power plants they switched over from the Corvair to the Toronado power engine and transmission package, and they ran that way for the last 1 or 2 years of production. Now, they didn't make a lot of them because they were expensive, and of course, RVs, they don't produce a lot of any one particular make when you're talking...
Well, they're collectibles. They still have the Ultravan Motor Club. So,
they are still
people like them. I thought they kind of looked hideous, but but people like them. So yeah.
Well, compared to what else is out there, they have a charm all their own. They're slightly reminiscent of an Airstream trailer, except being more typically painted than polished.
Right. So, yeah, absolutely. Though some of them, they did polish them to make it seem like it was an Airstream, but not on your life. All right. Well, good conversation. Good stuff. And I don't write these books. I just use them as sources.
Okay. Well, talk to you later.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. Monday Night Trivia. That's the hardest thing when I throw out questions is coming up with things you can't research. Because, of course, we do it for the fun. The prizes are worthless. But people, if they can go online, very often will. So I'm on the lookout all the time for those questions that are, unsearchable. There's a term, bastardizing the English language again. So before we get onto it, Anita in Beloit wants to weigh in on the Eagles. So, Anita, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Holly.
Yeah.
I'm offended that people think that the AMC Eagle was a terrible car.
Yeah.
I bought a brand new 1983 AMC Eagle. We paid cash for it.
Uh-huh.
We ordered it special. It was only on the production line on Wednesdays, so we did have to, honest to God, we asked for it to only be on the production line on Wednesdays, because that's the only day anybody's worth anything.
It's nice that you could pick it.
Yes. That car lasted over 10 years. It was still running when we sold it, and it actually rolled over the odometer. There was nothing wrong with that vehicle.
All right.
And yes, the little box where you move it from two-wheel drive to four-wheel drive, it still works.
All right. Well, let me ask you, with a history like that, why did you part with it after a decade?
Oh, I wanted to get a Chevy Blazer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I was tired of going without air conditioning.
Well, that is a problem. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
And it's like, okay, I want air conditioning now.
Yeah, 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 no doubt about it. I'm with you all the way on that. Well, all right, so another vote for the Eagle.
It's like, how can you people say it was a crappy car? I love my Eagle. Are you nuts?
Well,
it was a wonderful vehicle. It rolled over even.
A whole book to this effect, so I don't know what to tell you.
Man.
So it's at the other studio. Otherwise, I'd go get it and tell you who to blame, but I don't know.
I think because it was on the, it's on the line, only on Wednesday.
Okay.
You can't trust anybody who works on it on Monday. I can't trust anybody who's working on it on Friday either.
Well, I give you a lot of credit for figuring, not knowing that, but figuring out when the car was actually on the line.
Well, we told him specifically it could only be on the line on Wednesday.
Why?
And he wrote that on the order.
Oh, my God.
Write it on the order.
Oh, my God.
Only on the line on Wednesday.
I wonder if they really, well, they must have lived up to it. Your car worked for a decade. So, yeah, I guess.
10 years.
All right. Well, there you go.
And it's like, yeah.
All right. Well, I think I'm about to blow the news. So thank you for calling. We'll talk to you soon. Yes.
I'm looking at the clock. It's like 2 minutes to 12. You got to go, baby girl.
Okay, bye. Thanks for calling. Okay. And another hour of this right here on WGN Radio.
Silhouette.
and it was Mike in Elmwood Park who wanted to hear Silhouettes. A lot of people thought the Rays were from Philadelphia because that was a hit on Cameo in 1957. Not true. The Rays were actually from New York, and they had been on Chess, and they couldn't get arrested on Chess is really the truth. But then Cameo, that was a huge hit. Of course, been redone by half of everybody. And as I was saying when we were talking about that with Mike about his request, I said, you know, I know there's tons of covers of that, but speaking of Philadelphia, I thought the Futures did the absolute best job of a cover. Philadelphia International did absolutely nothing, but I thought it was just a delight. It was a Bob Crew and Frank Slay who wrote it, of course. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Okay, good. I see Jean on the phone. I want to find out how it's going with her. So, Jean, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm excellent. I've only had 2 hours since I talked to you, and Kim has only had an hour and a half. It's been a grueling, grueling thing, but we couldn't get anybody after long. We finally got them to come at 2 in the afternoon, and your prayers and your love and everything helped me and helped us so much because I had a miracle. He didn't have to do the wall. He just had to do the sump pump and make some alterations. Twisting into the wall was something that never occurred before. He said that if the pump had wanted to burn out, and with this particular pump that my grandson put in years ago, it didn't do that. Instead, it backed into the wall to the outside plumbing. Mm. And that was the pounding in the wall. Oh. And like the whiskey. But, you know, I've told you so many times, I've had so many miracles. I had another one. The pump burnt out as he was opening it. It gave its last big grind. Okay. And it went off. And he said he was so sorry that they couldn't get here because, you know, there's so many of us, you know. Well, my grandson won't have electric in Indiana until Monday.
Wow.
And here in Illinois, they still have quite a few thousand to go in Tinley Park and Homewood and Flossmoor. And, you know, it's bad for everyone here in this middle section. But I won't complain. I had a miracle.
Good.
It cost me a lot of money because some pumps have gone up. And he says, it's $2,000. And I said, for a jump the pump. He says, well, I have to do other things down there with, you know, cementing and all that business. I says, well, go ahead. Then the hotel would have cost me more than that.
Well, absolutely. And in today's dollars, that's a bargain.
It is, because I would have been flooded and had more damage than Carter had too.
Yeah, right. So the wall is
dry.
The wall is dry, by the way, so we're okay with the wall?
The wall is dry.
All right.
We have all that. He said
not to worry about the wall.
Okay.
As he explained it to us, all the different sounds and all the swooshing, it was like flushing.
Okay.
With this particular pump that was put in there.
Okay.
And so that flushed back into the wall out to the sewer. There's a big sewer in...
Yeah.
Well, I'm on a corner. It's hard to explain to you. I have a... My address is on Whitworth, but the front of my house is 148th Street. My big backyard is facing LaSalle. So with that, I've got the big sewer out in the front of Wentworth, goes out to the street. Now, if I had the water, like he said, and they had to go into the sewer, that would have been, you know, about $30,000.
Oh, my God.
The village doesn't, the village does not take care of inside. Like that sewer, they don't maintain. My grandson puts stuff in there every month, some kind of thing.
Well, now, when you say sewer, is it a septic tank?
No, it's a, you know, into the ground with a cover on it.
Yeah, well, I think that would be a septic tank, because I don't think you're still in a situation where you've, you know, got something other than that. I'll bet you it's a form of a septic tank.
Maybe that's what they called it. You know, you know, my husband, God rest his soul, he took care of everything. And I'll tell you, in, I feel 100 today instead of 92, believe me.
Oh, I'll bet you.
And, you know, it was something because we waited and waited. We kept drinking coffee. Dunkin' Donuts was here to deliver us coffee to get us through that after we talked to you. And got us through, and then picking up stuff, you know, because down in the basement, I wasn't through with that other situation that I had, you know, from my other
stuff. Right, oh, you know, absolutely.
The roofer was here, but I still need drywall. So now the drywall man has to come in and repair the bathroom ceiling upstairs. Oh. I haven't had that yet. And it's just been a little too much. And then, you know, we had to pack up Elizabeth last Saturday to go to Nicholas. And the poor kid, you know, his office, he's got an office in the place he lives because he's in marketing. And then with him, no electric. And he's got three women there. And he's sending the baby. And he said, he's going goofy now.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, you know, when you've got all these different things in play, the big thing is never look at the big picture. Just attack one thing at a time methodically, and don't look beyond that, because it's overwhelming otherwise.
It is.
Yeah. Now, I assume you have a septic, and I also assume that where you are, they don't have city sewer, right?
No.
Okay, so then you'd have a septic, because your only other thing you could have would be a cesspool. And that's what we have where we are. That's how old this kind of area is. But the government outlawed cesspools long ago. So that the problem is that when you have a cesspool failure, you've got to go septic, and that requires a lot of space on a lot. But it sounds like you've already got septic, so that's not an issue.
I see. But I know what I know about it. Is all I know, Nicholas has to put this stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, no,
every
month. Yeah, that would be either way.
For tree rots or something, tree roots.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a septic system.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You're giving me an education. I'm 100 years old learning about all this.
Yeah.
This is really something else, I'll tell you. My brain is, like, so tired. And I said to Kimberly, I said, you know, if we ever sleep, it will be sleeping through the weekend.
And that'll be fine, too.
All right. You got that right.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, you're amazing. And you know what? You reach all of us. And you're so, so beautiful and kind. And, you know, I hope that your future, you'll have a long, beautiful life, you know, because you have so much to give. And, you know, you help so many people. I heard you talk and speak to so many people and give them hope. And that's what we all need as we age, and you're so beautiful. And I want to thank you, too. In between, I didn't have you on, and all of a sudden, I hear playing of my song,
yes.
You Win My Dream.
Yes, the Platters.
And I said to Kimberly, as soon as I have a little something, I said, I got to sit down for a while, and I'm going to, call her when I can, you know, get my bearings.
Yeah.
And tell you thank you because it's a beautiful song. And I'll always see my Lyle in my dreams.
All right. Well, good deal.
I love that song. I never heard it by the Platters. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to have Kimberly buy it for me.
Oh, good.
I liked it real well. And I never heard it. And I said, oh, my gosh, she soothed my brain again.
Well, good.
It's important to me very, very much. And I hope you live a beautiful, long life, too, because, you know, just hang on to John as many years as you can, because that's what keeps us going, you know?
Oh, you betcha. Well, you know, our deal is I go first. And I've told him, you know, I'll snatch you back if you think you're going first. If you're going first, kill me first, because I'm very selfish this way. So, yes.
You know what? I think that we both wanted that in my day. I didn't want to leave him go, and that was my problem. But a lady that was at our nightclub that we always attended, she said that night when I was, it was in between the hospital, we got back and forth, and she said, tell him, that you'll be all right, and that's what happened. And those words resonated to him, and all I did was rub his cheek and gave him a kiss, and he was off.
Right.
You know.
Oh, that's right, and that's exactly what he needed to hear. I truly believe that. Now, of course, in my advance directive, John calls it the hangnail clause. You can take me out for almost anything because I'm ready to go.
Oh, that's something.
Yeah, absolutely. People are amazed when they see all the conditions where I'm leaving. Yeah, absolutely. No one has ever said, "Dear Lord, let me linger." So not going out that way.
No, you're so right. Everybody I knew in my whole family was that way.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wanted to linger once something hit them.
Well, exactly. And I don't know anybody who feels differently about that. I'm sure there are people who believe there's nothing that's coming next or what have you. But for most of us, no, we'll skip the suffering part.
Right. We have to. Believe me, because I watch little Thea now. There's a picture that Elizabeth had sent from Nicholas that they went to last Sunday to an Apple Park or Apple something anyhow. And there's a picture of Thea holding a little Lyle. I call him little now because that's the middle name. And it's a beautiful picture. Her color's better, you know. So we all think that something's working with her treatments of the cancer.
Oh, good. That'd be wonderful.
And I'll have Kimberly. She's on the park bench, and she's holding him, and it's real sweet. And, you know, because he's got that catheter since he's 4 years old.
Yeah.
So I said, he's frisky. I said, don't forget, he's frisky. Because, you know, so he doesn't bump it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, her color's much better. So, see, God works in this, you know, mysterious ways. We don't know things. And, but she's making it. And that is a pleasure. And it, you know, relaxes Nicholas a little bit. But
sure.
She's got a lot more of this. He's got to take her to the airport. He says, they use the stove, you know, the formulas and the cereals for the baby. Then he's got to have the big power for all his computers for his office there. So he's working it back and forth. He's keeping real busy. And he says, well, you haven't had a baby at all.
Yeah.
He's only had the daughter, you know. But anyway, it's a crazy world, you know. Everything comes in bunches.
Yes, it does.
But anyway, I lucked out with gently drizzle through the night.
Good.
And at noon time, a big drizzle came, and I said, oh, my, let's get more picked up. I said, it's all going to go, because I've been through that once when I was younger here. And I carried the buckets out, and my neighbor seen me, and he came over and turned everything off, the water line up. But, you know, we don't know how to do all that. And, I don't want to now.
Right.
And I do too much shield. But anyway, we made it. We made it.
Yeah.
And I hope that a lot of other people are making it because their electric is not on. And, you know, the devastation with that.
Oh, yeah.
I know it, you know. Because when I had my big flood in Homewood, my first house, I was on the front page of the old Daily News here in Chicago. They came and took my picture the house. And then I was going to stay. We redid it.
And then 2 weeks later, another storm came, and it came right to the front door again. So we said, we're out of Homewood because we're not taking a boat out again and it being stranded.
Yeah.
So I had it early, you know, in my marriage. Hip Early was only just a year old.
Wow.
And when we bought that little house from Marriott Builders back then.
Sure.
But we got out of that. So I started out my life that way with marriage and all the things that go on with houses and houses. But we made it. We made it.
Absolutely.
And
so absolutely.
And you know what? You helped me. And you help all of us, believe me, you do. And I appreciate you. And Kimberly does too, and Elizabeth, we all do. And stay as nice as you are because, you know, the world is a little crazy out there.
Yeah.
We need people like you.
Well,
we all need
you.
The faith and kindness, and that's all. It doesn't cost us any more to be nice than to be nasty, you know.
That's absolutely true.
And, yes. Well, thank you so much again. And you got me through it.
Well, good.
You really did.
I'm glad it worked out. That's an excellent end to the story.
Oh, my God, yes. And he was a nice man. He was gentle and nice and considerate.
Good.
And he says, you know what? I'm going to call my supervisor. And he says, I'll see if I can get a little money off. And he did. He found 18-something, whatever it was.
Well, good.
That was nice of you. His name was Sean. I said, oh, that's a good name.
Yeah.
Good old Irish name. Yeah. But anyway, he was pleasant. And he's going to do the laundry tub for me, too. He's going to ask a friend because my house was built in 68. And the laundry tub is a big old cement one. But what they did, he said back then, they put the brackets into the floor before they put the cement laundry tub in there. And he says, that's why now you've got a leak. It's old, and I can't use it. So the tube my grandson made to go into the sump pump. And he said, that's okay. Your grandson did a fine job. But he said, the laundry tub, he said, we can't do nothing with it. I said, well, I have to get it out of here. And I said, Mandrino, WGN, when I called back when this happened, he said it would have to be just chopped up to somebody to take it away. Well, I called many people, and nobody wants to chop it up because it's that heavy old cement.
Sure.
So he's going to talk to a friend, and he's going to let me know what they would charge to chop it all up and get
good.
It out so I can get a new one.
Yeah,
so that'll
good.
Take care of a new pump. I won't have to worry about the wall, and I got to get the laundry tub out, so that'll be next.
Well, good report, but like I say, don't concentrate on the big picture. One thing at a time, and you'll get
That's
through
what
it.
You're right. You're so right. I do one thing, and then I'll go to the next
That's
thing.
Exactly it. That's
Yeah.
You betcha. All right, good to talk to you.
Okay, Kim and I will rest up and think about you, and you have a good weekend and rest well, too.
Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
And I really like the music, and that was wonderful.
Okay.
And you take care now and have a good,
you too.
Healthy, blessed weekend.
Okay. All right, you too. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. And
all right.
For now.
So we are in the news, and that's okay. If you're listening on the stream, you, of course, are still hearing me. And if you're listening on WGN, once again, I'm talking to myself, but I won't be in a few minutes right here. I'll be talking to Robert and Eduardo and Sam and Dean, and maybe you too.
fantasy.
Bit by bit, your love slips away from me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There's the original 1960. Yeah, on Profile. Little by little, Junior Wells. He re-released it and redid it, actually. Won't say re-released because it's redone. He did it with Buddy Guy again in 1968. But, you know, probably three dozen people have done that song. But that was the first one. It was released in February of 1960. And I don't think anybody topped it, though a lot of people had it, whether it was B.B. King or you name it, Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes. Yeah, everybody. But, yeah, I don't think you get better than that. All right, so that was for Marty. Promised I'd play that. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Robert in Chicago, what's up?
Yes, I've got a couple of requests. Let me see here. Yeah, I'd like to hear You Don't Know What You've Got Until You Lose It, Rel Donner.
Absolutely, Chicago record.
Oh, yeah. And one of my favorite early Elvis ballads, it's just called Don't.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And maybe one day next week when we have more time, I'd like to talk about a station that you've probably heard of, and you might have even known some of the DJs, a little station, WBEE, at 1590.
Of course. Yeah, we've talked a lot about that, but I'd love to talk about it. Yes.
Yeah, Jim Dandy Reese and Lon Dyson, those guys,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Raleigh.
All right, call me back. And call me back earlier, and we'll talk about WBEE next week.
Right. Okay,
good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Sure.
Chicago has a rich R&B radio history. Very often brokered time stations and things like that. But even so, it was, you know, basically a dollar a holler. What else would they do? But, man, there was some good shows. So let's see. Sam and Gurney is checking in. What's up, Sam? Welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh. Thank you so much for taking me on. I just wanted to say that I always try to stay positive, but right now I'm just going through a very negative time, and so thank you for taking me on. But
you know the deal. Don't think of the big picture. No matter what, pick the one thing you can handle right now and do something about, and concentrate on it.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say that I have a brother-in-law. I'm not going to mention names. I'm not about name-calling. But I have a brother-in-law that owns the largest plumbing company in Illinois.
Okay.
And he has done so many people, including two of my neighbors, like terrible business. And they're, like, up for... They're basically going to lose their houses because of how he has paid them. And when they were supposed to be paid like $32 an hour, he was paying them $8 an hour. I won't go into anything.
That's very unfortunate. But when that's a repeat offender, so to speak, very often things can be done about that. When you're violating minimum wage, for instance, there are laws that are pretty codified that can come back to haunt you.
Yeah, so I just wanted to get your opinion on it. And I have tried to help them, and...
Well,
I'm just so sorry.
You know, in a situation,
so
obviously, I don't have all the facts, and you don't have to give them to me, trust me. But based upon the Cliff Notes version, it seems like this is habitual with this guy. He doesn't care, so appealing to his higher interests isn't going to do any good whatsoever. So the first thing they have to do, you know, when that's the case, the first thing they do. What?
Can I interject for a moment?
Go ahead.
I just want to say that at the same time that this is going on, that these people are suffering this, he's like taking Australian vacations.
I don't doubt it. You've painted the picture. We don't need to any more information. I've gotten this. He doesn't care, and he'll do what he wants and live his life his way, so to speak. But if what he is doing is against the law, then this can be filed, and there are absolutely state agencies that will act on this. You know, they can absolutely shut him down if he's violating the law. Now, if he's not violating the law, you've got another thing on your hands, because obviously there's no written contracts, so you don't have anything where you can, you know, go to court and show evidence, because what they say or what they promise, that means nothing. All right. So, you know, if it were me and I was going to advise those people, I'd say think hard about what he might have done that could have violated state law. And that's how you're going to go after them. And usually even calling the agencies direct is good enough. But there are also organizations that will help people in that situation. So I'm not saying, oh, get a lawyer and sue them, because it might be hard to get a lawyer on a contingency case unless it's such a pattern of behavior that it's happening to enough people that this could be a class action suit. You know, I don't know how many people we're talking about, but if it's, you know, a handful of people, what they need to do is hopefully find something that he's done that violates state law.
Right. And so thank you for very, very much for your thoughts. And in reaction to everything else, I just want to say that if you could play like a Righteous Brothers song for me or something.
I've only got one bumper left this week, but I can play a Righteous Brothers song for you next week.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay. I'll do
thank
it.
Thank you very much.
All right, maybe
and
for once in my life. All right, good deal. Keep me posted.
All right, bless
thanks.
You,
appreciate it. Yeah, it's tough, absolutely tough. But you know, when you're dealing with casual employment where you don't have a written contract, you're not going to win. And he said, she said, even though he got witnesses. But if someone's violating state law, oh, there's a lot of ways to go with that, indeed. All right. So 888-876-5593. Dean is in Freeport. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Okay, Dean was going to talk about AMC cars, but he decided to go to sleep, and it was a good move, Dean. I don't blame you a bit. When you're next up, call us back. Ken in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio. Nope, Ken gave up. All right, well, I guess I have that effect on some of you. But Marty in Whiting called. Welcome back to WGN Radio. So what you got?
Roy James?
Yes, indeed.
I just happened to wake up, and Marty from Whiting.
Yeah, and you heard Junior Wells.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I just happened to wake up in time to record it.
Well, good. It's my favorite version.
And I've told you before, every time I record or request a song, I always record it. So, yeah, thank you very much. And, thank you very much, Wally.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. All right, so apparently Dean was not sleeping. So, Dean, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Can you hear me, Raleigh?
Loud and clear.
Well, excellent. I think I was wiping the tears from my eyes from the last half hour. You two girls had me crying, but you are a blessing. You know many, and you're very, very patient with people, and so that's that is a real positive. And I don't know. The older I get, I find that I'm more patient than what I was 40 years ago. So,
oh yeah, well you get to the point where you realize none of it really matters. The heck with it all.
Yep. Amen to that.
Yeah.
Hey, I was gonna just catch up on a few things. The Montgomery Ward sign hasn't blown down.
Good. Glad to hear it.
I was in the Beef LaRue parking lot last night, and all of the lights are on.
Oh.
But they aren't open, but somebody's paying the electric bill.
Good.
Because they had all the lights on inside. So, you know. Hey, now I didn't get exactly what you began when you were talking about the Oldsmobile Coronado.
Uh-huh. Well, here's the deal.
I think that was the subject last week. Yeah.
Yeah, it was because Monday Night Trivia, not this week, last week, or might have been this week, I don't know, questions about the world's worst cars. And this is based upon books that people have written, obviously. And so two of them that came up that I described, one was the AMC, the Eagle, and the other was, and I disagree with the Toronado. I thought the 1966 Toronado was a marvelous car.
Oh, my gosh.
And I fell in love with it when I saw that the dial was stationary and the numbers moved on the speedometer. That was just so cool. And the other thing is those electric windows, man, they'd go up in a picosecond, you know, and I just adored that. So, I thought it was a great land yacht. And but apparently some people who critique cars said it was one of the world's worst.
You know, back in the day, let's see, I would have been about 14 years old, and when the cars would, you know, come out in the fall, we would go downtown, all the dealerships had the windows covered. You couldn't see the cars until, you know, the day, and it was usually like October when the next year would be.
Or latter failed. September, right, and they would always have, you were 14 so you weren't invited, but they would always have a cocktail party, and it would be the cocktail party where you'd be there and you'd walk around the new cars and all that. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was always, you know, and... Well, as kids, we would go down and get free hot dogs, free donuts.
Oh, sure.
That was a good, you know, gig back then. But the only time I don't see any old Toronados around here. I do see one on TV in the very first year of Mannix. Mannix ran for 7 or 8 years.
Right.
He drove a Toronado. And then he switched to a Dodge, and then when the show ended, I think he was driving a Chevy Camaro.
Unacceptable. So, absolutely.
Unacceptable. Yeah, but that was the only old Toronado that I can remember on a television show.
They still every now and come up for sale. It's been more than 10 years, but I looked at one, actually. But John was uncomfortable in it. His body didn't work well with it. But, yeah, it had that 425 cubic inch engine and that big V8.
Wow.
Oh, man, I just loved it. But, yeah, they still make them now. We did get an old Cadillac, and it was great because it had the world's largest trunk. And John used it on his gigs, and we used to laugh about it, saying we got a trunk with a car attached to it. But it was the best Cadillac, except when the air conditioning fails on cars that are that old, you really can't replace it because the stuff that was used as Freon isn't legal to make anymore.
So we
still mourn that car, but AC was non-negotiable. I had to have AC, so that went away. But yeah, I still see 66 Toronados for sale, and if John fit in it better, I probably would have done it. Oh yeah, well you can do it on eBay. We've actually bought cars on eBay. And, in fact, the Cadillac was the best deal ever because, you know, they didn't say it was a little old lady car. They said something like it had 100 and whatever it was, 25 miles or whatever. Well, it turned out it didn't have 100 anything. It was like a 25,000-mile car. It was, literally the little old lady. And it was, other than when the air conditioning failed, it was just the absolute best.
I check out Craigslist about every week, and then if I see something where it says, one owner, grandma drove it to the, church, and I'll kind of call, and then the guy will say, oh, you're too late.
Yeah,
darn.
That's funny. When I sold that Cadillac, I put it on Craigslist, and a few weeks after I sold it, some guy called from North Philly, and by that time I was living in Idaho, and he said, I'll buy it. I said, oh, well, it's sold. He said, I'm just going to kill myself. I said, well.
He already had his heart.
He was convinced.
Well,
if it makes you feel any better, the AC didn't work, so I don't know. Yeah.
So the other thing, on the AMC Eagle, one of my friends had one, and my dad was a big AMC guy, Rambler guy, and he had one of the ugliest cars AMC made, which would have been the Pacer.
Oh, yeah, Pacer is absolutely, yeah, it's award-winning for that.
Yeah, and the kid who bought it from my brother, he's an auto mechanic, and he's on Facebook under Schultes Automotive, okay. And he has that car on his Facebook page. He redid it, and he's got that ugly AMC, 1975 AMC, and then, but you know, back in the day, the AMX, the Javelin.
No, absolutely, you know, and they did, and many of their cars have nice optional 8-cylinder engines. I mean, most of the time it was reliable inline six, but no, they had some nice optional engines on that. I agree. I think it gets a bad reputation that in some ways is very undeserved.
Yeah, yeah. Now who made the Avante?
Oh, well, I liked the Avante. Avante, yeah.
Yeah, I thought those were super cool. You know,
yeah,
It
was Studebaker.
Before Tornado, even.
Right, it was Studebaker.
Yeah.
Studebaker.
Okay, Dad had a couple of Studebakers.
Yeah, and that was a very short run. That was less than 18 months. That was like middle of 62 to the end of 63. But that Avante was nice.
Why did they stop that one?
Well, I think there were a lot of reasons. Studebaker, the company shut down. They were in South Bend, and they shut down that plant in late 63. So the Avante wasn't the only reason, you know. I mean, it was, but it was nice. It was a standard V8. It was kind of a small, a 289, I think, was the V8.
Yeah, but trunk, I remember.
Right,
yeah.
But they offered a larger supercharged, and they claimed it was the fastest production car in the world upon release. I don't know that that's true, but that was how they always marketed it. And then. There were a couple local Studebaker dealers who bought the rights and the tooling, because Studebaker went belly up, and so they hand built the Avante II, and they started that in 1965. And what they were using there was Chevy V8 engines, and so
I remember that.
Yeah, right.
I don't. You don't ever see any of those out your way, do you?
No, I have not seen any in a long time. I worked with a guy in Indianapolis who had one, and that was the 70s. So, yeah.
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 And the Nash Rambler, that was one company?
Yeah.
Nash Rambler was one company,
right. Well,
and they...
Yeah, absolutely. And, AMC was an amalgamation, and it was an outgrowth.
American,
So absolutely.
Okay.
And that had been, a number of things, the AMC Javelin, which you mentioned. But I think it started out, trying to think when it started out, I think Hudson, Nash Kelvinator and Hudson. In 1954, those two merged, and that started what became American Motors. So,
back in the day here in Freeport, that's in the day where we had Henny manufacturing, and Henny used to make the Henny Hearst.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple models that
oh,
I had
great.
Had handed down. Yeah,
I love it.
Of those, but. Yeah, that's another industry was here at one time. But
well, call me earlier next week. We can talk more about it. And, we can also talk about Hudson, which was involved in that merger, too. So, okay, thanks.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
Uh-huh.
All right, so now with that in mind, I've got a spare few minutes, and I'll tell you who they belong to, our first-time caller. We're going to meet Christopher. Christopher's in Chicago Heights. Christopher, welcome to WGN Radio.
How are you?
All right. Thank you for calling.
You know what? I think I heard you last night, possibly, because we're without power. So I did the old time, put the transistor battery in. And,
oh, yeah.
Man, I fell in love with you. So I turned the generator off this evening, keep the freezer cool. And I heard the Tornado guy.
Yeah.
Knowledgeable guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's pretty neat. His gearing was a little bit different than I know, but hey, I could be wrong. And then I heard the girl with the AMC Eagle.
Yes, 10 years.
Why would you sell that if you love that car to get a Blazer with air conditioning? So,
well, that's it.
I bought a 1947 Ford Business Coupe, completely restored it.
Oh, great.
And the only thing I did not do is I didn't put mohair back in.
Okay.
Because of the mice. that's not good, conducive in Chicago winters, because it's a nice nest. Mm-hmm. But before my father passed away, I took him for a ride, and we were talking about...
I hate to do this. John just said I'm out of time. I didn't even realize this. I've ended the show. Will you call me earlier next week, maybe Tuesday earlier, like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock?
I certainly can.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you. All right.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
Yeah, John says I'm about to be off the air. So apologies to Eduardo and to Brian and to Chuck. And, well, Monday Night Trivia live on Monday and then Tuesday through Thursday, the usual stuff. So until then, that's a wrap. I thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. And especially thanks to Christopher, our first-time caller. So talk to you Monday night. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Stand by for Snooze, plus Idiots of Fire, and Paint the Town Red-Handed. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Lullaby Witness News, Barely Alive, Slow-Mo, Late Waking, Mocking in Memphis as a morning TV news anchor's caught catching a catnap during a cut-in, FTV Live reports. But is it her fault? Most newscasts are so dull, anchors look like they're struggling to stay awake to spit out a hostage tape. Besides, newsrooms are snake pits. Couldn't someone have woken the poor anchor up? Keep it here on 2020. When news flakes, we kick it. Faking Bad. Seems there's a Pablo Escobar fan born every minute. Some Swedish cheatball who calls himself El Silencio is set for the slammer for his scourge plunder fire flim-flammery fixated on the late cartel kingpin. Seems Silencio of the scams cooked up a crime ring of fire by peddling far-fetched foolishness like Escobar-themed phony flamethrowers and fake gold smartphones. Suckers paid top dollar and got nothing but a claim to flame, the feds say. All that litters may not be gold. Paint it whack. Blind your own beeswax. Some camera-shy piece of work's been spray-painting over closed-circuit crime cams, cops say. Allegedly, this Florida man always feels like somebody's watching him, so Artful Dodger's designs are claimed to have covered up, count 'em, 8 cameras with a fresh coat of paint, but the license plate reader Refusnik got glimpsed by, guess what, cameras he missed, the fuzz say. No paint in the pokey for this perp. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.